The following is a segment from Real Estate Today, the radio partner of HouseLogic.com.
Welcome back to Real Estate Today. I'm Gil Gross, and our good friend Pamela Gertz-Cabati is back. She's from HouseLogic.com, and she joins us each week. HouseLogic.com, brought to you by the NAR, features everything you need to increase, protect, and maintain the value of your home. And welcome back, Pamela.
Thanks, Gil. Great to be back with you.
Good to have you here. And we are talking about emergency preparedness this week. And I know House Logic has this topic covered. So, okay, I want to know what makes for good communication and an evacuation plan.
Well, actually, you know, what we're doing right now, talking about how to be prepared when we're calm and not in the heat of a crisis, perfect example of the best time to plan for any kind of emergency. Having a plan in place is a great way to feel safe and be safe. And, of course, being prepared also helps alleviate pressure from emergency responders who, you know, you've got your act together so they can be off helping others. So there are a few things I really want to address, and you mentioned them, escape routes, a communications commander for your family, and using technology.
All right, let's talk about escape first, you know, getting out, making that exit.
Absolutely. So a few things to remember on this one. Mm-hmm. You want ideally two ways to escape from every room, and in most cases that's going to be a door and a window. So when it comes to the window, if you're in a two-story or higher home, you want to invest in an escape ladder. There are a variety of price points under $100, but you're going to want one of them near your upstairs window, and you're going to want to practice using them too. You can check out a demo of a collapsible escape ladder actually on House Logic. Just search by evacuation, and we'll show you how they work.
Right.
You also want to check with local and state officials for regional evacuation routes if you need to drive somewhere else. And you want to learn the safest, fastest way out of town, and you want to keep maps about that handy. You also want to designate a meeting place, because once you get out of town, where are you going to go? So designate a meeting place if your family members are scattered. A rendezvous can be anywhere. It can be a home. It can be, you know, your home. It can be a second location like an office or a relative's house or a neighbor's house. You want to make sure you have a second location beyond your home, because in some cases your home may be, you know, the site of the disaster may be off limits.
Right.
You also want to figure out how you'll transport any pets you have. You can get together with neighbors to designate someone as sort of a pet protector for the neighborhood, and that person would be the one responsible for retrieving and caring for animals if owners are stuck somewhere else. The Humane Society is actually a great source of information on disaster planning when it comes to how to deal with your pets.
Mm-hmm.
You also finally want to get a copy of your office, or if you have children, your school's emergency plan. If one doesn't exist, if they tell you, well, gee, we don't have one, then you could really step up as a volunteer to create one and help safeguard your family and your community.
You mentioned that thing about a communications commander before. What's that?
Well, it doesn't mean you get any medals or wear any special uniform or anything, but in an emergency, this is the person who becomes your central point of communication among your family members. And it's the person who should ideally live outside of your immediate area.
Now, why is that?
Well, that's because if weather or other, you know, another emergency has knocked out landlines and cell service in your area, you want someone else, you know, apart from you, who can receive and relay messages between family members. And likely that person needs to be where service hasn't been interrupted. So what you want to do for your communications commander, you want to give that person everyone's cell and office numbers in your family, and also the email addresses for everyone in your family. And then in turn, each family member should carry the commander's contact information with them. And finally, you want to program that person into your cell phone, but you want to start their name with ICE, which is short for in case of emergency. If you're disabled in some way, an emergency responder is going to search your phone for ICE contacts.
I did not know that. That's interesting. Now, you talked about technology, which we're also tethered to. What kind of workarounds are there in case of an emergency?
Well, there are a number, and I'll go over them, but let me just remind folks that sometimes texts on your cell phone are going to work in the absence of other cell service. So you want to keep that in mind. Even if you can't get a call through, you may be able to text somebody. The other thing you want to have in your home is a UPS, uninterruptible power supply. If you hook your internet router up to one of these, it'll keep online service running, even in a power outage, at least long enough to send out an emergency notification. You can search online to find various models of UPSs. Some are under $100, and they can keep your computer running for as for a short time, like 15 minutes, long enough to get some emergency messages out. The other thing to think about is that your cordless handsets are useless in a power outage. So you want to consider keeping a corded phone at home. They're old-fashioned, but they can really serve you in an emergency.
Yep.
You can also buy a hand crank or solar cell phone charger. Again, if you go online and search these terms, you can find some products that are under $50. Finally, if you get separated from your family but have internet access, you can let others know where you are with a great service from the Red Cross. It's called Safe and Well. It's their Safe and Well program. And it's essentially an online directory where you can enter yourself on a list as safe and well if you're in the area of a disaster. Or if you're outside the area, you have, you know, friends or family in an area where disasters hit, you can look for someone you care about on the list if they've put themselves there. So you can learn more about that by searching Red Cross Safe and Well on the Internet. FEMA has also told us that many shelters now provide computers so people can get online and let family and friends know they're okay using this kind of Safe and Well program or something else like it. And finally, keep a battery-operated or hand-crank radio in your emergency preparedness kit to get news and instructions.
Okay. You mentioned something else let's get to quickly, which is an emergency preparedness kit. Now, everybody wants one. Nobody's quite sure what to put in one.
Yeah, very, very, very important. A 2008 FEMA survey indicated that more than half of U.S. households have some sort of disaster preparedness in place. Now, if you don't have one, you absolutely want to make one. And if you have one, while you're thinking about it, now's a good time to check the kit for fresh batteries, make sure that it's stored somewhere where you can get to it in an emergency. All very important.
Pamela Gertz-Kabaty from HouseLogic.com, thank you so much. I'm sure there's more on this on HouseLogic.com.
Absolutely. We have all sorts of stuff on HouseLogic.com for emergency preparedness, including information on portable generators, insurance, and actions you should take before and after major disasters.
Okay. Hope you all never need this, but if you do, well, it can literally be a lifesaver. Pamela Gertz-Kabaty from HouseLogic.com.
You've been listening to a segment from Real Estate Today, the radio partner of HouseLogic.com.